Now, in about 98, I was in Toronto in Canada, and I was there for a week to preach. And this Tuesday, I spent the whole day in my room waiting on the Lord, essentially preparing myself and messages to preach that week in Toronto, when the Lord directed me, took me to a psalm, and I'm going to share it with you. This is just rich background on apostles. I should mention is that there's a lot of material in this book, my first book, The Apostolic Revelation, on apostles. Because I wrote this book after 13 years of searching the heart of God and the mind of the Spirit and searching scriptures for an understanding of this subject. And other books were being written in the 90s, but I thought it was premature. I thought the Lord was still speaking. And so I just waited. I kept listening. I kept teaching what he gave me. But eventually I sat and wrote this book, which I thought was more the complete picture of what the reformation of the church was that was coming over the next 100 years. But in particular, the thing that I felt this book was meant to do was to very carefully say what an apostle was and was not, and what apostolic grace was and was not. Because I knew that a day was fast approaching when the anointing for apostles would be poured out on the world. And once that anointing for that grace and power was poured out, people would run with it, but I felt that some would run amok, that some would abuse it. And I felt a book was needed that would lay down the safety fences, put in place the parameters for what was and what was not genuinely apostolic. And that's what this book set out to do, was to be a defining textbook for the movement that would come. I'm satisfied that it does largely do that. It's a 100,000 word text. It's not easily read in a night or that kind of thing. Every paragraph in it has to be thought through. It's not uninteresting, it's actually passionate, but because it's rich, it takes time. And if you're going to understand apostles, there are several chapters in this book you're going to have to reread and study, because we can't lecture all that material. What I can do in these few lectures is give you material that isn't in books and relate it to some of the material that is in the books, and together you get a package. Now, in this book there are four chapters in particular that you will want to read in association with this lecture and the next one or two to come. So it is chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5 of this book. Chapter 2 is the grace of apostleship. Chapter 3 is what is an apostle. Chapter 4 is the nature of an apostle. And chapter 5 is the authority of an apostle. This gives you a lot of foundational material. We will come to other subjects. But when I was in Toronto in 1998 and listening that day, the Lord took me to Psalm 98. Psalm 78. And as I read it, I came to this passage. And it's an unusual way that the Lord speaks about himself. He says, "Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, as a man wakes from the stupor of wine." Can you imagine the Lord talking about himself like that? Like, suddenly woke up, you know? What's going on around here? It says, so he woke up, and it says he beat back his enemies. He rejected the tents of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah. What's the significance there? Ephraim was a warlike tribe that gave a lot of leadership to Israel in battle. And he's saying he didn't choose that tribe. Instead, he rejected them and chose another tribe. And then he said he built his sanctuary like the heights. He chose David, his servant. Oh, he's now thinking about the Christ who had come, the sanctuary and the church. But it says he chose David, his servant. See, David came from Judah, right? This is the significance here. In other words, the king, the ultimate king he was going to raise, he didn't take from the tribe that had the leadership before. He set them aside. He found fault with them. And he raised a new leader from another tribe altogether, of which it had never been prophesied that they would produce the leadership. And took him from tending the sheep and brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob. And it says then David shepherded them with integrity of heart. And as I read that passage, here's what I heard the Lord say. I'm about to set aside the existing leadership of the church and raise another leadership. Now, this was in 1998. You bear in mind, I'd already had the benefit of about 8 or 9 years of studying apostles. And suddenly I hear this word from the Lord say, I'm about to set aside the existing leadership of the church and raise another leadership. What could he have meant by that? Because he didn't go out and sack all the pastors. Now, what it meant was the church was about to make a big shift from administrators and pastors and teachers being the primary leaders of the body of Christ to apostles and prophets being restored as the primary leaders of the body of Christ. A major, major shift in God's intent and in his management, in his whole methodology of governing and leading the church on earth. Now, Chuck Clayton, who has gone to heaven now, but he was my spiritual father for many years, he told me that he heard the Lord speak at about that time, about the same period. And Chuck said he was driving along when he heard the Lord say, I'm going to raise a new leadership for the body of Christ, and this one will have a heart. This is the whole point about genuine apostolic leadership, is that not only is it leadership with heart, it teaches the church to have a whole new heart, especially for each other. And this is why I've often said, and must emphasize, you must say it again and again, the primary message of every genuine apostle will be the love that we are meant to have for one another and the unity that we are meant to walk in. And you can't find any greater proof than that than by going to the actual documents that were written by the apostles as Holy Scripture, and what do you discover? Every last one of them majored in that message, and I would like to say here tonight and as a part of this online school that unless those who claim to be apostles have understanding of and a great heart for the church becoming one, the church being a people. It must become a people of one heart, one mind, knowing how to love one another from the heart, honoring one another, accepting one another. All the outworking of those holy things written in Scripture, the fulfillment of the new commandment of our Lord Jesus, who said, as I have loved you, so you also must love one another. If this is not the apostle's heart, probably they're not an apostle. This is the major work of apostles. Could I say apostles do not replace pastors or teachers or prophets or evangelists? In fact, with apostles, with apostolic grace restored and apostles leading the church, those roles become more important than ever, and apostles see to it that those persons are lifted up. Apostles, whilst they have those grace gifts, do not replace those persons.